Today we'll read from Job. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die?" But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
This morning I have something to fix, brought to. We are studying the fruit of the Spirit under this title, Taking Jesus with Us, with the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And today's topic is patience. I believe by now everybody memorized the nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So patience, I think we should pronounce this patience. Can't be wrong, because that's what we need. So taking Jesus with us through the Spirit, patience is today's topic. However, this is reality. And as you travel with your children in this hot weather and very humid, children ask this just right after you took off in the van, "Mommy, are we there yet?" And when we hear that a couple of times, that's okay, but it goes on and on and dozens of times, and then I did this before, and can you stop that? And, you know, patience in time like that is not easy, is it? Is it when not only one child, but three or four children do that again and again, and that's really, really testing our patience. I have this memory recollection of the president of a seminary retired, and his son and our friend. So sometimes I'll go to his house and spend time with his parents. The father, president of seminary retired, and the wife was a wonderful lady who could play piano beautifully. I could see that as she was getting more mature, she's losing her memory. So she says the same thing again, again, again. I remember when we visited there at the end of dinner, and a wonderful lady used to say, "Let's sing some hymns," because she could play piano beautifully. And then she said piano, and then Amazing Grace and all that. It was very sad seeing that wonderful lady losing memory. Same thing again. Again. Sometimes that happens to our spouse or our parents, and it's just not easy to exercise our patience. And it goes every day, almost all day long. And another thing is, some of you have to commute to Tyson's or to DC. How do you enjoy the commute? 2:34. Sometimes it backs out almost to the church, you know? I mean, 2:34 and 29 and 66. And that's okay, right? The traffic, you're accustomed to it. But when somebody cuts in without giving signal, how do you hold your tongue? I did that. Then my wife said, "Honey, hold your tongue. You're a pastor." And it is another thing that actually, you know, kind of really difficult for me to control and use my exercise of my patience is this, you know, someone cutting in like that and they throw cigarette butts while still that light is glowing, and I'm sorry, that really bothers me. You know, that really bothers me. And of course, some people, they outright ignore the sign HOV. You know, two or three more, and then still driving, and then they are caught. That's funny. Those things are kind of the day-to-day testing our patience. And but here's the thing. I was reading John chapter 5, and there's a story of a person who's been ill for 38 years. Jesus met them and healed him. But think about 38 years of a chronic illness. Some of us, we have, not necessarily that the exact illness, but certain things that we've been struggling with and bothering, that particular thing we've been praying, "Lord, would you hear my prayers? Would you answer my prayers? I ask this in Christ's name, that you're Almighty God, would you hear my prayers? Would you do that?"
38 years. Some of them even longer and shorter, but we all have something like that that causes us sometimes, you know, take that deep sigh above breath. Lord, how long, when? We have that, right? Today we heard about Job. So we have this expression, so-and-so has a patience as well, like Job, right? Where did we get that from? In the book of Job, chapter 1, we hear that Job had a great... He was a wealthy person, actually one of the richest person in the Middle East back then, like 7,000 animals and 3,000 camels, and goes on and on. And he was really blessed with 10 children. According to the scripture, if you have 7 sons, mothers, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and then means... You know, this biblical word, you're most blessed and perfect family. That's the kind of back then. So 7 wonderful sons and then 3 daughters. And one day, God was bragging. Can you believe that? Like a parent, you know, bragging on his children. God was bragging about Job in the heavenly court. Have you seen my servant, anyone like Job? And the Bible says this in chapter 1 and 2, 3 times. These are the words, He is blameless, upright. Fear God, turn away from evil. Blameless, upright. Fear God, turn away from evil. So God said, there's no one like Job, and I'm so proud of him. Satan says, God, because you blessed him, because you protected him. That's why, if you take all the things from him, he will curse you. He'll turn his back against you. And God said, fair enough, and you tried it, but don't touch his wife. So one day, Job lost all his property and possessions, and not just one, all 10 of his children were killed. What did Job say? Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, his mourning, fell on the ground and worshipped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can't believe that. Mothers and fathers and parents, let's think about, property may be okay, gone, but losing all 10 children in one day, how can that person keep his sanity? He's still worshiping God? That's impossible. I can't do that, can you? Then Satan said, you know, Lord, he didn't curse you, but if you touch his kind of health, and then he'll curse you. And God said, you may try that, but do not kill him. And then Satan went and touched his health. Don't know, but some terrible thing happened. The Bible says that he began to have problems and soreness, infection, whatever, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. You know, this whole body. I had a shingle about 6 years ago. It wasn't that fun. I was reading the scripture. I was thinking, probably, I think I had just a little bit of glimpse of it. In that situation, his wife said to him, do you still persist in your integrity? Do you still believe in God in this situation? Curse God and die. What a wonderful wife. Where's the wedding vow? Till death do us apart. In sickness and health. 60 and 68 years. Through riches and poor. But he said to her, you speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So here comes the question. How in the world Job was able to keep his faith and patience in those terrible trials and sufferings of life? To get more real, Job became very, very distressed and he was suffering. And in chapter 7, verse 14, even there it says, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that I would choose strangling and death rather than this body. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are breath. He became, because of the pain and suffering, he became almost, as you heard, suicidal. But the question is, how in the world he was able to keep his faith, integrity, and patience? I don't think I could do that. But he did that. What made him possible to do that? And here's the answer. Job 19:25, there he says, and there are times that people even spit in front of him, mocking him. Terrible things. Wife abandoned him, all the family, and all this Job was able to endure and had patience because of this faith. What is that? 19:25, there Job says, out of nowhere, I know in the midst of all these terrible things, confusing things and pains and sufferings, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that at the last, He, God, will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I still shall see God. He says, I believe the Creator God, maker of everything, ruler of all, He is my God, my Redeemer, and He is with me even when I go through all this death, losing all the property, rejection, betrayal, all the suffering. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He will deliver me. He will save me. And He is with me. That's what I'm holding on to. That's how he was able to endure and had his patience and faith. Let's think about Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You know, as we think about Psalm 46, how is there any way that we can kind of increase that? And Psalm 46, everybody, I think you heard this expression, be still and know that I'm God. Remember that passage? Be still and know that I'm God. I think all Christian, everybody kind of know that. Yeah, Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. Then we need to think, okay, before that, before God, David was saying that, what was happening? What was the context of it? We need to think about it, okay? Before, be still and know that I'm God. That sounds great, okay? However, what's going on? Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. When? In times of trouble. Therefore, will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. Think with me, the clergy family in Alexandria, pastor of the Trinity United Methodist Church, right across the CIA, that family last week lost their 22-year-old William and Mary graduate with a bright future, doing good things for the world, getting killed in a car accident. I bet they must feel that their earth is shaking and trembling. I'm sorry. Don't you think? As parents, this morning at 7:30 prayer service, one person said, prayer time and joys and concerns time, said that a friend of mine, 74-year-old, was suffering from certain illness and couldn't endure the pain, so he killed himself and prayed for his wife. In a situation like that, and then we feel the earth is trembling, the world is really spinning around and shaking and confused, roars, and that's how we feel. When you heard that your brother has a cancer and things like that, in those times, how can we keep our faith and patience? Here comes. How? I'm sorry. How? Verse 10. By being still and trusting that. In patience, trusting God. Trusting that if I keep my faith in God, in God's time, God will change. God will redeem. God will transform my these troubles and trials. And because of that, witnessing God's salvation and redemption, I will exalt God. Then it says, I'm exalted among the nations, I'm exalted in the earth. And then verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. So again, what is giving David the faith and patience? That is, God the Creator, Redeemer, Ruler of all, If I be patient with God, wait upon God, and God, the Almighty, is with me, will deliver me. So was able to have faith. In Isaiah 40, it says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?" There are times we pray for certain things for many years. There are times in our sickness, illness, and certain challenges of life, we pray. We cry out to God. But there are times we feel God is not there. There are times we don't feel anything. There are times we sense that God does not hear my prayers. Did you have that experience? I do. That's what Isaiah is talking about. Somehow, because of the war, foreign invasion, disease, famine, whatever that may be, Isaiah is saying that people of Israel, they are sensing and feeling that way. God is hidden from us. Our right, what is right and just, is not being done from God. God is hiding from us. In those times, how Isaiah, the people of Israel, they endured and kept their faith and was able to have their patience. What is that? But those who wait for the Lord, I added that, in patience, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. What is that? The Creator, ruler of all, God. Even though we may feel God is not hearing our prayers, listening our prayers, God is hidden from us in those difficult times, holding on to this faith that our God, the Creator, ruler of all, God is with us. If I wait up for the Lord, God will deliver me. That faith, have that, then we can endure with patience. One more Paul. In Romans 8:3, it says, "And not only that, but we also boast," what? "In our sufferings." Does that make sense? We rejoice when things are going well. Promotions, good health, success, everybody doing well in the family. Then we rejoice. But it says, we rejoice and boast in our sufferings. Why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, patience, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has given to us. Okay. So, this is what we heard today, summarizing. Job, David, Isaiah, and Paul, in terms of suffering, in times of suffering, not just traffic jam, not those "are we there yet" those moments, but in times of intense sufferings, and godly people, you love God, still we suffer, and those sufferings are so intense and a lot, and beyond any reasons and explanations. And those are tough times, and they really test our faith and patience. In those times, Job, David, Isaiah, and Paul, in those times of suffering, they felt God is silent and distant. In those moments, they held on to the faith that God, the Creator, Maker, Ruler of all, is with them, will redeem them. Having that faith, they were able to endure with patience. Got that? I don't have to say that again, right? You got it there, right? However, here's our reality. Again, on Monday, as you'll be driving to D.C., when you hit that traffic, 66, that'll be hard. Okay? I can almost predict that this week, something will happen to you. Really will test your patience. Something will happen to you. That's life. And those times is not easy. I don't know about you, I can't. Okay? I can't. Then I want you to remember this. I know some people, they rather use their hand than muscles, but I rather use this. When you have to screw lots of them, I rather use this. Tools are really good. Once actually I needed a tool, actually a couple of times, I needed a tool, so, but I don't have. So what did I do is I called Craig. Craig, do you have this? And he said, sure, Pastor, you know. Okay, I'll bring it to you. So I used this tool several times. Patience is like a gift. It's a gift, right? Gift of the Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift. Gift is what we don't have, but what we need. Here it is. Gift is what we don't have, but what we need. So God gives to us as a tool. This is profound. Think with me. Gift is what we need, but what we don't have. But God gives that to us. That is gift. As a tool. Through the Holy Spirit. What is that? In our case, that is called patience. Fruit of the Spirit. So next time, whether you are on vacation, when that thing happens, test your patience. Then, if you see your husband is about to really, you know, blow out his temper, and then wife, turn to your husband and tell him, honey, we have the tool. Patience. God has given that to us. Let's use it. Let's try it. Honey, to each other. Let's try it, to each other. Honey, we have the tool, the patience. Let's use it. Right? Let's do that. And next is in Colossians 3:12, it says, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, little word, clothe yourselves with, and then it says, compassion, kindness, and then last word in 3:12 is patience. Unless God has already given us this wonderful gift of the fruit of the Spirit and this patience, would God have asked in Colossians 3:12, put this on? I'm asking this again. Unless God has already given us this gift of patience, would God in God's Word tell us, put this on? Get it? God has already given to us. So this is another thing I want you to do. Kevin, would you help me? Thank you. Each day in the morning, as you put on your clothes in the morning, whether distress or whatever, I want you put on this and say this. Thank you, Lord. You have given me today your gift, fruit of the Spirit, patience. I'm putting it on. I'm going to live today with your gift of patience. That's how I'm going to drive. That's how I'm going to go to work. That's how I'm going to go to teach and kids at school. Oh, patience. Let us pray. Thank you. Loving God, we give you thanks. Whether incident during the vacation, in the van, in the car, or aging parents or spouse, letter from IRS, a health issue, concern for our children, concern for our nation, politics, and many things, Lord, we need your patience. We confess that we don't have this, Lord. We can't make it. So you have given to us, through the Holy Spirit, this gift, fruit of the Spirit. Then, through the Holy Spirit, we have received it. We have this gift with us. So, Lord, O Holy Spirit, help us at home, as we drive, at work, in this church, at schools, grocery stores, that we put this on, your gift of patience. And as a result of that, people may see Jesus, His radiant patience through us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.